Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Thanks for being with us on the program today. In studio with me is Mayor Tony Rozworski of Lafayette, and we'd love to have your questions for him during our next half an hour. You can give us a call at area code 765-496-1999. You can send an email to ask@wbaa.org, and you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Well, it's good to see you. Sorry we missed you a couple weeks ago. You were a bit under the weather, but it's nice to see you now.
You've even gotten
some sun.
Yeah, I've taken a vacation since then, so yes, thank you.
Oh, I see. You skipped the show to go to Florida or something.
Well, there was a couple weeks in between there, so again, I had time to get well.
No, I'm just pulling your leg. Let me start with some listener questions since we've had a couple of extra weeks in between. We've gotten some listener questions. Let me start with one from Alan, who writes in and says, the stretch of Poland Hill Road between Poland Lane and Beck seems to have a lot of foot traffic. It's a very narrow road due to the recent rail crossing upgrade. And he says, I have personally seen numerous near misses between pedestrians and vehicles. Are there any plans to put a sidewalk or extension of the nearby path there? He says, I recognize it's tricky topography due to the railway, the hill, the creek, but those features also make it much more dangerous for people walking, he believes.
Yeah, I think that's a very accurate assessment of the situation. You know, we've actually done preliminary planning for that area. We'd like to rebuild all of Poland Hill Road, basically from 4th Street all the way out to Beck Lane, because there's not sidewalks and curbs. That was originally was in the county and was annexed into the city even before I was the mayor. And we'd really like to rebuild that whole road. If you go out there, that road has two really sharp S curves in it that cause people problems also. And then with the topography and the railroad crossing, you know, it is a tricky spot. But because of all that, you know, the initial estimate came back somewhere between $5 and $7 million to just rebuild that stretch of road, get the road straightened out, get the railroad crossing where we want it, get those sidewalks all in, and get that where we would like to have it. So it's in line, I guess. You know, I just want to be honest with people. It's in line to be rebuilt, but we have several other projects that are ahead of it. But I would hope over the next, you know, 4 or 5 years, we that would rise to the top, because we understand that it is a tricky spot. But we only have so much money each year to build roads, and we've set out a plan, but it is part of the plan, and there is some preliminary engineering estimates for it.
Does the city maintain a list on its website or something of the priority of all of these projects, of here's what we'd like to do, A, B, C, D, E?
You know, we do that through the Area Plan Commission with the money that comes in from Federal Highway that then goes through NDOT and eventually to the MPO here locally, where we list all the projects that Lafayette, West Lafayette, Tippecanoe County are going to do, because we have to share that money. And so it really doesn't stretch very far. You know, we do, as part of our ordinance for our wheel tax money, we do list that through an ordinance through city council of exactly what roads we're going to repave and working on. So there are some lists out there. Now, those lists do change. I mean, I want to be upfront about that, depending on new development, a potential business coming to town, a new big employer. I mean, you know, there are different things that we have to do sometimes. Just to give you a quick example, you know, SIA did a $400 million expansion and then a $120 million expansion. They're hiring 1,200 people. And literally, to get people in and out and cars and other inventory, you know, they had to create a new entrance. So the city, you know, had to spend a couple $100,000 and put in a new traffic light, which we were more than happy to do for 1,200 jobs and what they're doing. But that needed to happen, and that needed to happen quickly to allow that their production to get up to that level that they want it to get up to and get those 1,200 people hired. So, you know, the list is not in stone, but there are lists out there. In fact, you know, through the Area Plan Commission, we look at roads for the whole county years in advance of maybe where those roads should go. But there are other factors that come into play sometimes that can alter that list.
We talked a month or two ago on the program about the city's new app that people have been downloading to their smartphone. I wonder if you're getting more comments like Alan's, where people are saying, here, Mayor, here, city, is the picture of the intersection or the picture of the stretch of road that we'd like to have worked on. Have those begun to funnel into your office?
Yeah, I mean, they have. They don't funnel in directly to my office, because they go to an action center, and the software then will distribute those to the appropriate departments to, you know, take care of those. But then sometimes I get them also. But yes, the app has been very successful. The last time I checked, we had over 1,000 people download the app, and that number's pretty old. I haven't checked in the last few weeks. So we're very excited about how that app's taken off. If I remember correctly, we were told that that was the most downloads of a city app that Civic Plus has had for a new app that's come out in that short period of time. And so we're going to continue to spread the word about that, to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Nextdoor. You know, we're very transparent about what we do, and through our social media, we really try to get the information out to our citizens and allow them to engage with us also. In fact, just recently, Nextdoor through the police department went over 7,000 people, which is a huge number for us, and we think that's really important. So, yeah, keep downloading that app. We want to see what people have to say.
Another listener question. Rick writes in and says, I was shocked to walk down New York Street and see about half the mature trees between 6th and 7th marked with big red X's. He says, I asked one of the neighbors what that was about and was informed those trees are due to be sacrificed to a sidewalk project. He says, while we agree that the sidewalk project is both greatly needed and will be greatly appreciated, we disagree that it should entail taking out all the mature trees along the path. We would like to know why the trees have to come out to accommodate the sidewalk rather than the sidewalk being designed to accommodate the trees.
Well, there's a couple different things for that. And we, you know, when we do road projects and we do sidewalk projects, there's always a balance between saving as many trees as possible, but also getting the sidewalks in a way that provides the drainage that you need to get to the inlets in the road, not push water back into people's yards, change elevations, because a lot of things have changed over the years since the last set of sidewalks were in. There's more houses, there's more people, there's more cars. And so you've got to look at it all from an engineering standpoint. I mean, obviously, we are very environmentally friendly here. We believe in sustainability. We've been a Tree City USA for over 20 years. And so we do try to save as many trees as happen. Now, what happens sometimes, too, when folks look at trees, and there's a good example on New York Street, the tree looks like it's in really good shape and it should be saved, but it's actually not. Over the last several years, we've spent a considerable amount of money and had Davy Tree Service, which is a national company, do an inventory of about 30,000 trees in the city of Lafayette and all our parks, so we understand what our urban forest really looks like. Several of those trees that looked good actually were not listed as good trees on their inventory. In fact, one of them, because I just met with some of the neighbors yesterday to kind of finalize this and go over, and the gentleman said, you know, that tree looked great, and when they cut it down, that whole tree was hollow except for about that much of it. And he said that tree did need to come down. It looked like it shouldn't come down, but it did need to come down. And sometimes we run into that where trees on the outside look okay, but they're hollow on the inside. But we always do try to find that balance between engineering, drainage. We had one tree that came down that people were upset about, but the homeowner asked us to take that down. The tree was so large, he said the root system had grown into the foundation of his house and was causing him foundation problems that were going to be expensive, and he really felt that, you know, he needed that tree to come down. And so we try to balance everybody's needs and everybody's wishes, along with the engineering aspects that have to go along with new sidewalks or new road projects or new handicap ramps, as it ties into the drainage systems and the inlets and the stormwater pipes and the sewer pipes that are already in the ground under the road. So, you know, there's actually, it looks simple, but there's actually a lot to it to making those decisions.
You can get your questions in for today's Ask the Mayor conversation with Mayor Tony Rozworski of Lafayette by calling 765-496-1999, sending emails to ask@wbaa.org, or tweeting questions at WBAA News on Twitter. A caller, Elizabeth, actually sent in some pictures of cigarette litter near the downtown bus station. She attached a couple of them to an email she sent me, and she notes that one of the child care centers downtown has its playground right next to the bus depot, and she says, and I'm quoting now, "It seems unrealistic to assume that the city bus riders do not smoke. City bus property is designed non-smoking or designated non-smoking, so the riders smoke just across from the property borders. It seems reasonable City Bus should accommodate their riders with an enclosed smoking area at the back of the lot, or perhaps there's another solution to this problem." And she says, "Thanks for your consideration of this issue." Something you've been hearing about?
Well, we do from time to time, and I thank her for the call, and I understand her concern, but I do, I will have to say, I do agree with City Bus that We need to make the city bus facility a non-smoking facility to accommodate the vast majority of people. It's hard to build an enclosed spot for smokers, and that's not healthy. I mean, we're trying to get away from doing that, and we're trying to encourage people not to smoke, and we're trying to encourage healthier lifestyles here in our community. Now, do some people walk across the street or step right off the city bus property to smoke? Yeah, they do, and from time to time, I do get calls about that. City bus tries to encourage people not to do that. We cannot control all human behavior, but I'll say, and it is disappointing that the people that do that then, you know, feel the need to throw the cigarette butts down on the ground and do things like that, that they can't go that short window there of waiting for a bus transfer without, you know, feeling the need to do that. But I don't think the answer is for us to, as a community, we have a non-smoking ordinance in our community. The state has passed a state law regarding smoking in public places and within so many feet of the door. And I don't think the answer is to go back in the opposite direction. I think the answer is to encourage people to get into cessation programs, promote healthy lifestyles. And I think if we do the other, we're really going backwards. You know, when we first passed the city ordinance, there were people that were very concerned in the restaurants and the bars about how that would affect them. And so we actually put a little caveat in there if it was for over 21. But if you look now, even almost all the restaurants, all the bars have went to non-smoking. And I think we need to continue as we make these decisions to move in promoting healthy lifestyles.
Well, so let me ask you about that, because you and I have talked about the smoking ordinance on this program before, and I always remember testimony given by a former state lawmaker who I covered once, who said that having a smoking section of a restaurant is like having a peeing section of the public pool. It just doesn't work. And there's a point to what she says. Is it worth revisiting whether the city's smoking rules need to be made even stricter? Because there are plenty of places where you just cannot smoke at all in public places. And there's little political will to do anything at the state level that goes any further beyond what we've got now. But cities like yours can do stricter smoking rules. Is it worth revisiting that issue now?
Well, you know, I would say not at this particular – I understand the question, but I'd say not at this particular time, because I honestly believe that almost every place has went to non-smoking. Even some of the last holdout bars that were 21 and over have went to non-smoking. I can tell you, I cannot remember the last time I got a complaint from a citizen who had to put up with cigarette smoke in a public place or in a restaurant or a bar or any place like that where they felt they should not have to put up with that. It's been a long, long time. And so I think the ordinance has achieved what we were hoping to achieve. And I think even though we did leave some of those carve-outs initially, I think the market and just the will of the people have corrected that itself. Where I'm really not sure that we have any place where we're having a problem. If we did, I think our city council would be open to re-looking at that if we actually identified a problem. But I mean, I think without an identified problem, you know, I don't think that's something they would just arbitrarily take up.
On to other questions. Susan writes in and says she wants to know about the street lighting near downtown street. She says tall sodium vapor lamps bathe beautiful historic buildings in an eerie orange light, but spill into second floor windows. She wants to know, does the city have plans to replace those with more efficient natural spectrum LED lighting? She says ideally in historically appropriate lower profile street lamps that bring the lighting down to street level.
Yeah, I mean, if you look throughout downtown, if you look at all the streetscape lighting that we've done, particularly the last couple phases, because we have even changed the design from the first phases of the street lights that we're using, they are all LEDs. They do have a shorter profile, and they have an arm on them with a kind of a ring around them that really does help push the light towards the sidewalk and towards the street. And so if you look throughout downtown, all the new phases of street lighting that we've done through streetscape projects, we have done that. Even if you look around Reilly Plaza just in the last couple weeks, they are taller. They're still some of the taller poles, but we have went to the LED lights with them, and we're going to continue to do some of those change out. Even throughout the city on the poles that Duke own, as those lights burn out, we're going to the LED lights. There is a charge to the city for that. That's not a transition that Duke makes free of charge, but we are transitioning to LED lights as lights go out, as we do new projects. The lights out on Sagamore Parkway will all be LED lights as that project is done. And so we are moving in that direction. But the city of Lafayette, we own some and Duke owns some, but between all of us, there's probably 3,000 poles. So that's a lot of lights. But we are moving in that direction, especially in the urban areas where we know people are living upstairs. We're trying to be cognizant of that. And as you look at the new Main Street project that's underway, the phase that got done last summer, you can kind of see what those lights are going to look like.
We've got about 15 minutes left with Lafayette's Tony Rozworski today on Ask the Mayor. Send your questions to ask@wbaa.org. Tweet them at WBAA News on Twitter or call them in at 496-1999. Well, while we're on the subject of downtown streets, let's talk a little bit about Main Street, which, of course, is going to have a lot of construction on it between now and November. I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the businesses there. There are some that, it's no secret, have a fairly small profit margin. Are you concerned about trying to make sure that those businesses, quite frankly, stay in business between now and November? Are you focusing at all on those that aren't the high revenue businesses?
Well, I mean, we're focusing on all the businesses on Main Street. And when we, you know, began to really plan for this project and we knew it was going to affect so many of the retail and the restaurants down through there, you know, one of the first thing we did was decided that we needed to develop a marketing plan. And as you saw from the press conference yesterday, a lot of that has been revealed that through the city of Lafayette, working with our Kara Bishop and our marketing and communications department, and then with IDC and some other marketing firms, we put together an entire strategic marketing plan to let people know that downtown is open for business, that downtown, that Main Street is open. Continue to come down and shop, look at the project, and we've got a lot of things that we're going to be rolling out as this project unfolds. Dennis Carson has been working very hard with the downtown businesses to see what they need and then help coordinate with the construction. And we have went at an effort that we have never, quite frankly, went to before, where we've actually hired an outside firm to actually help us with the marketing plan during this construction project. Because you're right, we understand that the folks on Main Street just, you know, they put their heart and soul into their business, and we appreciate them so much what they do, because we've got a great downtown. It's vibrant. There's a lot of energy. But we know we need to do some of these projects to move us into the future. You know, Main Street is going to look so different, and the experiences that a diverse group of people are going to be able to have on Main Street is going to be incredible. And when you come down Main Street then, and you tie that into the work that we're actually doing on the depot and the mark that's going in at 101 Main Street and the Riverfront Promenade, and then the work we've done on the Myers Bridge tying into what Mayor Dennis is doing with State Street, and then the overall Central Reach portion of the Wabash River Enhancement Corporation, I mean, this really is a phenomenal time in our community. And I think it will continue to spur continued private development, not just public dollars needing to go in, but private development, like you saw with the Dalen Group and what they're doing with the Mark and the regional headquarters for Old National Bank. I think we're going to see some great continued investment. And so, you know, we've put together this marketing plan that we're working with the businesses to help them during the construction, but also then lay the groundwork for when construction's over and we have this new amenity and some of these other projects are done, how do we take that and we carry that momentum that really takes their businesses and downtown, you know, Lafayette to the next level? We're very lucky on the upper end of Main Street there. We have a new restaurant that's going in, and that's why we're starting with that first section there at 10th and Main. And because we want to get that done for them and get some outdoor seating opportunities created. So when they get ready to open up this spring, early summer, that's in place. You know, we had the work that we did with the Purdue group to develop some parklet designs that we've talked about that can go down Main Street too. And so as we get some of this work done, we'll be able to incorporate some of those parklets. There's just really, you know, some fantastic plans for downtown and for Main Street and really the near downtown neighborhoods with the building that John Schumann put up, Regency Springs, with the Centennial Neighborhood townhouses.
So you mentioned the marketing plan a couple of different times. Who's that really aimed at? Is that aimed at the people who would be the walk-in business patrons, or is it hoping to keep them coming down, or is it aimed more at the businesses to say, please don't worry and don't leave downtown because we know there are other places you can go?
No, it's really aimed at getting people downtown, keeping their customer base downtown, helping them keep that revenue flow in place that you discussed earlier, what they need. And that's really what that plan is, to keep people coming to downtown, keep attention on downtown, and keep people in the community excited about the project. And that's really what it's focusing on, to help the because those folks that are downtown, they're committed. Some of them, you know, they love being downtown. That's where they want to be. That they feel special about what's going on, and that's where they want to be. And so it's really about helping them keep their customer base, keeping people coming to downtown, keeping people advised on what's going on with the project so they get excited about it and they know how to navigate it, and then to make sure as much communication takes place as possible. So as it says, you know, downtown is open for business. Main Street is open for business. That's the mantra and the message that we're trying to get out to keep people coming to downtown.
Both you and Mayor Dennis have alluded to this idea of kind of a perfect storm of construction that's going on in your two cities right now. You starting up on Main Street, West Side starting up on State Street. There's construction on Sagamore Parkway. Someone came to me the other day and said, the whole darn area is under construction. What do we do about that? How do you address the concerns of people who are seeing this and just seeing the orange cones and are freaked out by it?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt we're probably close to the orange cone capital of Indiana between the two cities. And but, you know, I tell people, and I believe this with my whole heart, I love this community with everything I have, and I know Mayor Dennis feels the same way. We were together this morning in a meeting that lasted over 2 hours discussing the Wabash River and the Central Reach and how we tie the two communities together. And you know, we just tell people that we're blessed that we have this kind of energy, that we've managed our finances well in the two communities, that we're able to do these projects, and that there is this kind of perfect storm of opportunity that you just have to take advantage of. We have to use this time to get some of these projects done and to tie them together in a way that we may not have this opportunity again for decades. And, you know, when you tell people that, most people understand. I really understand that it's frustrating. You know, we've worked very hard through our social media. We have live cams out on Sagamore Parkway. We try to get all the detours up, all the closings up, and it's been effective. It's really helped people navigate those, and we're going to continue to do that. But it's really a sign of being progressive. It's a sign of progress. What it should tell people is that the next generations of people in this area and the people that we're trying to attract here and talent that we're trying to keep here, that we are doing the right things for all of us to be successful. And as I mentioned to you kind of right before we went on the air, you know, just right before I came over here, we approved the tax abatement through the Redevelopment Commission for GE. They're already expanding. They're going to bring in about $16 million worth of new and additional equipment, hire about another 30 people. So they were going to originally hire 200. Now they're going to hire 230 people. And those 30 people are going to do the maintenance, repair, and overhaul work now on the engines that come in and need to be worked on, or maybe there's warranty work that needs to be done. That's going to be done here in Lafayette. They could have located that work anywhere in the world, but they chose to locate that here alongside the new LEAP engine assembly line that's being built here.
So GE's actually a really interesting example of what I wanted to ask you about on the other side, which is I happen to be looking at historic maps of Lafayette the other day, and if you look at where the city used to end and where it ends now, it has grown by leaps and bounds to the east and to the south. In other words, out from downtown, because downtown, by definition, is kind of compact. You've only got a certain amount of space. And if you look to the east and the south, business owners can say, well, I've got a lot more space I can build into. I can make whatever size property I want. And frankly, the rent is going to be a little bit cheaper than it is downtown in a lot of cases. So as you see your city moving to the east and to the south, especially, and you have been really doubling down on trying to make downtown look really nice, is there any sort of conflict in those two ideas?
Well, I think, you know, what we did when I first took office, I'm in my 13th year now, you know, we really looked at what we wanted to do with downtown, what we needed to do to be competitive in a global marketplace, how you blend quality of life and place of choice along with industrial ground, commercial ground, how you open up opportunities for tier one suppliers for your existing businesses, allow them to expand. We took a hard look at that and we looked at our utilities and our roads. And so we did four annexations over the last 12 years, and we haven't done any for a couple years now, that we felt allowed the city to have that combination of ground that's necessary to be competitive in a global marketplace, still be able to focus on our urban core, our downtown and those near downtown neighborhoods, and not grow so fast or so wild that we weren't able to do that. And quite frankly, I think we've been pretty successful at that. You know, Park 350 is almost full with Nonshan and GE and Heartland Automotive and a new data center for Wintech, the warehouses of Lafayette. We have the car property that's open now. We've worked on the Alexander Ross and the Berlowitz watersheds to open up parcels and timing in a way that we think are appropriate. Cascada Business Park has done very well. So I think, Stan, to your question, I think we've done a good job of not growing too fast, strategically annexing and ground and preparing it for development that keeps us competitive on different levels in this global economy, but still having the resources and the vision and the focus to be on downtown, the urban core, and taking one of our greatest amenities, the Wabash River, and working collaboratively with many different groups to begin the development of that to unite the two communities.
Let me ask you, in just our last 90 seconds or so, we talked last month about your plans to try to curb crime at a couple of apartment complexes. There was a bill signed this week by the governor that allows police a little more leeway to patrol inside complexes. This was drawn up by Senator Hirschman, something that you helped design. I know you testified in favor of it. What was your role in helping to get that going?
Well, just to give you a real quick background on that, we want to thank Senator Hirschman for his involvement and him taking a stand with us on something that we needed. But that really was a product. Senator Hirschman had called me and said he wanted to do a ride-along. And so he came down and did a ride-along. And through the course of that ride-along and talking to the police officer he was riding with and others, you know, the complexes came up. And so that idea was really born out of that interaction between Senator Hirschman and riding along directly with our police department, and he was willing to work on it. And as you know, myself, the chief of police, the prosecutor, and Sergeant Milady all went down and testified on that bill, and we were able to work it through the system. There were some changes that took place from the beginning to the end, but there usually is. But at the end of the day, we've got a bill that we can work with, and I think we've got a couple of apartment complexes where it will help us be more effective, and I think those owners will be more than willing to sign that agreement with us, and it's another tool that our police officers need, and we're going to use it to its fullest extent.
Okay. Well, Mr. Mayor, we're out of time. It went quickly, as it always does. Thanks a lot. We'll do it again,
Stan,
in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Remember that all of these shows are archived at our website, WBAA.org, and you can find the latest ones by looking at our Twitter feed. We are at WBAA News on Twitter. You'll know when the new shows are posted. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Support for Ask the Mayor on WBAA comes from your membership and Butler, Fairman & Seifert, a civil engineering firm providing communities with professional expertise and guidance. Butler, Fairman & Seifert, civil engineering solutions for better communities. BFSENGR.com.